Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the April All-In Service. So you may have already noticed we're sitting slightly differently this morning. And you should have been given on your way in a little handout to explain quite a bit of the reason behind this. But just wanted to encourage you that if you have any comments that you'd like to make, that you can either give them to the elders or deacons at the end of the service, or you've got the option to email them directly. To say that there is going to be a trial this week and next week, there's going to be a slight change around of the screens, so you may notice a little bit different next week as well. So this morning we're going to be looking at Jesus being tempted. We're going to be looking at the verse in Matthew 4, and I'm going to read those through now. The temptation of Jesus. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord our God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him.
Is that on?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, can I just have a show of hands really high if you have given anything up for Lent? Could be slim pickings here, girls. Right. Really high. Okay, if I come to you and you don't want to say anything, just nod and I'll move on, okay? John, can I ask what you've given up?
Chocolate.
Oh dear, you've given up chocolate. Can I ask why you've given up chocolate?
I felt it was a sin to eat chocolate all the time.
And have you been successful?
Just about.
Well done. Okay, wasn't John? Hazel.
I thought I would keep Theresa May company and I've given up crisps for Lent.
With success?
Yes.
Well done. Okay, come around here. My Annika Rice impression. Sorry, what's your name?
Emily. I've given up chocolate, sweets and Facebook.
Wow. Round of applause because it's Facebook. Any particular reason?
They take up too much of my time and energy. So.
Hello, what's your name?
Olivia.
Hello, Olivia. What have you given up for Lent?
Biscuits.
Really? Has that been really hard?
Yeah.
What's your favourite biscuit?
Chocolate chip.
Well done, Olivia. Put your hands up really high. I'm just going to come to two more people. Claire.
I've given up fizzy drinks and trying to drink water, which is horrible.
Well done. Have you managed?
So far.
Okay, one more. I need one more. Anyone willing to say? Oh, maybe I give. Sorry.
Sarah, I've given up cake, chocolate, biscuits and sweets.
All the sugar.
Well, yes, because I knew that if I gave up one, I'd eat more of the other. So I thought I'd better give up everything. But I tell you what, 40 days is a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well done, thank you. Okay, well, just to make a lot of your lives more difficult, as Caroline has said, we're going to consider... we're going to consider Jesus entering the wilderness and being tempted today. The All-In team have treated you to a little temptation of your own. You can, you should be able to find, if that hasn't fallen down already, underneath your chairs should be a little treat. Should be in between the bars. Really sorry for those who've given up chocolate and sweet things. Okay. So we are going to invite you to save this treat until the end of the service. Or if you've given up chocolate, not toot it at all. So that's our challenge to you. You've got to save it to the end of the service if you can. Obviously, if you're little, we're not going to ask you to sit on your children and whatever. So it's just a bit of fun and see if you can manage it to the end of the service.
Okay. So I wonder who's going to manage that. It's easier for me because it's just a little bit too far away to eat from here. Well, coming from a good Anglican background, daughter of a vicar, I have with me a visual aid, which before the days of screens and projections was very important to have something to look at. And I'm just going to pass it round. It's a dot-to-dot book. And I just wanted to make the point that isn't it wonderful with Scripture... Sorry, not intended, that pun. With Scripture, when we just get one little thing about God, when we just something just drops into our understanding and our consciousness, it's a little bit like dot-to-dot, isn't it? And I hope today... that might happen for you. And I pray today that that might happen for you. So I'm going to pass this around. I'm not on commission, but these are $1.99 from Lidl at the moment. And they're these like massive dot-to-dots that are huge. And there's loads of different parts. And the Bible's a bit like that, isn't it? So do pass this along. Have a little look. And there may not be any left. They came out, I think, on Thursday. But I hope and I pray that today we'll just get a little bit of something from God. Just look at these verses, and I'm just going to start by just looking at verse 1 of Matthew 4. Because this passage just contains so many truths, doesn't it? And hopefully we'll be able to pick out a few today. But can I also encourage you to read this again afterwards, this passage, and to look it up in the different Gospels, and to look it up in different versions, because I think there's a lot of truth here that is really important for us to grasp hold of. And just spending time dwelling on Scripture and allowing it, with the Holy Spirit's revelation, to come and just speak those truths through his word. Now, a bit jumped out from this passage a few weeks ago while I was studying it. And I felt, as sometimes happens, that I had never read it before, which isn't true because this is a well-read passage, isn't it? And I'm sure I've studied this and looked at it several times. So we're just going to spend a moment dwelling on verse 1. So you can look up at the screen. You can find the passage in your Bible and look at it there. We're just going to take a moment to listen what God's saying through this verse. Or you can close your eyes. I could invite you to close your eyes if you prefer. And I'll just read that verse to you. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So I don't know what jumps out for you, but what jumped out to me was that Jesus was led by the Spirit.
The Bible clearly says who tempted Jesus, the devil. But the Spirit led him there. So if Jesus was led by the Spirit, Jesus, King of Kings, who was both man and God, how much more must we be led by the Spirit? There will be temptation and trial and testing. There will be hard times, times when it may seem that we are going through tough stuff. How important it is that we too, like Jesus, are led by the Spirit now and always. And just pray, Lord God, help us to really dwell on that truth, that your Son, as he walked the earth, was led by the Spirit. Lord, help us to allow your Spirit to lead us today and always. Amen.
Then the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
What an encouragement. I cannot live without the word of God. It's a challenge and an encouragement. I'm going to look at Matthew 4, 5 to 7 now, next part of the passage. How are you all doing with those chocolates? Hands up if you've not touched it yet or, you know, not opened it. Wow, that is amazing. Now, Satan, also known by many other names, including the devil, the liar, the evil one, the tempter, asks a question. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. What he does there is he's trying to cause doubt, isn't he? He's trying to ask questions about who Jesus is. He isn't so stupid as to make a direct contradiction and say that Jesus isn't Jesus. He simply questions his identity. Just before this passage, in fact, the very verse before, when Jesus is baptized, his father says the truth about who he is when he says, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." And here is Satan saying, "If you are the Son of God." God says, "This is my son." Satan says, "If." As one writer puts it, Satan puts a question mark where God puts a full stop. God has made a straight statement of truth. "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." And Satan asks a question. And he does the same with us. He tries to make us doubt who we are when he tempts us to think that what we do defines who we are. I'll repeat that. Satan tries to make us doubt who we are when he tempts us to think that what we do defines who we are. He makes us think that what we do or don't do is the most important thing and that it'll affect who we are in Christ. It's a distraction. It's one of his tricks, one of his known tricks. Perhaps some of you listened to the radio this morning. On Radio 5, there was a debate about removing pews from church buildings and how it does or doesn't affect worship. And I won't ask for a hands up, but I wonder if any of you are distracted by the different layout at church today. Whether maybe on the way in, you may, like me, have been thinking, "Now, where are we going to place ourselves today? Where shall we sit? What's going to be our position?" You know, I don't think that's a wrong thing to have a natural reaction to just thinking about this environment that we're in and wondering things like that and adapting to something new. Perhaps it's quite normal to think that way, I hope so. But if we were tempted to think about that so much that it distracts from why we're here, who God is, and who we are in him, then perhaps we'd have to think about keeping those thoughts in check. Because when he tempts us, he causes us to be distracted from the truth. He doesn't want us to spend time dwelling on the truths that God would have us dwell on. He wants us to spend time doubting ourselves, doubting our identity. He wants us to define ourselves by our actions in the face of temptation. He wants us to think that if we do or don't sin, that'll affect who we are in God. Yet the cross, the victory of the cross, has put a full stop to that. The cross tells us who we are. The cross tells us that who we are is about what Christ has done. Full stop.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, I need two or three people. Carly, could I have you, please? Paul, could I have you, please? And who else? Who shall I have? Keith, could I have you, please? Thank you very much. Can I have a nice round of applause? You didn't sound into, you're not very enthusiastic about these people being stood here. So anyway, I have some questions for you. They're very simple questions, which is good because it's you three. But I need you to tell me a few bits and pieces. So Carly, could you tell me what you do for a living, please?
I'm a trauma and attachment therapist.
You're a trauma and attachment therapist. And what does that mean?
That means I work with families who have traumatised children that have been removed from their birth families and placed in adoptive or foster families who have suffered, and they've suffered significant trauma as younger children, and I therap the families in trying to connect with their traumatised children.
Well, we've all learned a new word. Thank you.
Paul, thank you. I work for a large international company called Science. I'm part of the management team. Working in utilities and geospatial.
Wow. And Keith, what do you do?
I'm an assistant head teacher and I teach geography.
You're assistant? Okay, that's brilliant. Okay, now I have a second question for you all. Please, Carly, could you tell me the qualification that you have, which means that you can do what you do?
I've got a degree in social work, yeah. A diploma in social work. I've got a postgraduate diploma in play therapy, and I've got a master's in therapeutic fostering and adoption.
Wow, thank you very much. Paul, what have you got?
I've got an O-level in technical... I haven't finished yet.
No, sorry.
I'm a qualified accountant as well.
Accountant, good. And Keith, what have you got, mate?
I've got a degree, a PGCE and a PhD.
You've got a PhD? Yes. In what?
It's in historical geography.
Historical geography. Okay, wow. Well, as you can see, these people are very serious. Well, yeah. I have to say, if anyone's ever got a question about glaciers, this is the kiddie you want to come and speak to. Right? I found that out by myself. But I don't know about you, but these sound like quite serious jobs, don't they? They're what these people do, right? And I find that I feel really safe knowing that these guys have actually got qualifications in what they do, because it would frighten me a bit if Paul had a PhD in historical geography and he was doing therapy. Do you get that uneasy gut feeling of like, oh man, no, that is not working for me? And equally, I think, you know, if you had an MA in trauma and attachment issues, although you may have without us knowing, Keith, because you could be that clever, and actually you were doing accountancy, I wouldn't want you with my money. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. Please go and sit down. Now, thank you. Round of applause. Thank you. Now, do you know, in the Bible, it talks about kind of qualifications a little bit. And we've been talking about Jesus, in particular, we've been talking about Matthew. And I'm going to read you just these three. Will you see it up on the screen? Can we have 8 to 11 up on the screen, please? Paul and Malcolm, thank you. That's it. Okay, so it says, again, this is the end of our story. It says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And this I will give you, he said. This is Satan saying this. If you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. Now, Rachel earlier on was talking about dot to dot. Remember in that book that was going around? Now, one of the things that you need to know is when it came to the king of Israel, it wasn't only about qualifications. There was no form that Jesus filled out. But it was about the characteristics of God and what he is like and what the king of Israel had to be like. Now, that goes right back to a book called Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Who has ever heard of the book of Deuteronomy? It's a hard read, but it's a good read. And it will tell you a lot about why Jesus spoke the way he did about particular things. And in Deuteronomy 17, it says this. Now, I want you to listen out for any characteristics or types of things that the king of Israel should be like. Now, at the time, they were talking about an actual person. But let's see if we can see anything about the way Jesus is inside this piece of scripture. It says, when you enter the land that God, your God, is giving you and take it over and settle down and then say, I'm going to get me a king like all the nations around me, make sure you get yourself a king whom God, your God, chooses. Choose your king from among your kinsmen. That means your people, among your people. Don't take a foreigner, only a kinsman. And make sure he doesn't build up a war machine, amassing military horses and chariots. He must not send people to Egypt to get more horses because God told you you'll never go back there. And make sure he doesn't build up a harem collecting wives who will divert him from the straight and narrow. That means don't have too many women around you. Or lots of wives, at least. It was different back in the day. And make sure, and this is a really good one, make sure he doesn't pile up a lot of silver and gold. This is what must be done. When he sits down on the throne of his kingdom, the first thing he must do is make a copy of this revelation. This is what is being revealed inside this moment on a scroll, copied under the supervision of the priests. That scroll is to remain at his side at all times, for he is to study it every day so that he may learn what it means to fear his God. Living in reverent obedience before these rules and regulations by following them. He must not become proud and arrogant, changing the commands at whim to suit himself or make up his own versions of things. If he reads and learns, he will have a long reign as king in Israel, he and his sons. Now we are told that Jesus was the king of the Jews. That means he was amongst his kinsmen. He was there right inside. His identity was absolutely tied up with his people and the greater world. But more importantly, you see what God is like. You see what God is like. And you can see that his identity is firmly built inside what Deuteronomy says here. So we should, when we look upon Jesus and he was able to push the devil right at the end there, it's because he knew who he was. Rachel talked about identity. He knew who he was. And we can have confidence in the fact that he is the God that he says he is. He is the God that he says he is. And we can put our hand with his and say, we trust you, Lord. We know your identity. We are just amazed by the fact that you had the power to send Satan away, even though he offered you all that wondrous stuff. He knew that is not what the king of Israel should be like. They're not what the king of God should be like. God's king should be like. He knew that and he owned it, and that's what he was about, and that's what he's doing. Thank you.
Can I just invite Kirsty and Claire out, and we're going to have a time of prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, we are sorry for the times when we have allowed temptation to draw us away from you. We are sorry for the times when we justify our actions and choices that are not the best for ourselves, for each other, and do not honour you. Forgive us for the times when we lose sight of our identity as one of your children and draw us nearer to you. Amen.
Thank you for free will and all the choices we are given every day. Thank you for the choice between right and wrong and that you've gifted each one of us with this responsibility. Thank you that you're always here for us, even when we're being tempted or walking in completely the wrong direction. Thank you that we can call on you for comfort, strength and wisdom and that you provide. Thank you for the Bible and that you can speak to us through it, each of us individually, and speak into our situations. Thank you also that we don't all, when we're not always able to resist temptation like Jesus in the desert, that you don't hold it against us and we can keep being forgiven and come back to you every time when we choose the wrong choice. Amen.
Please God, help me to be strong when I feel weak. Please God, protect me from harm. Please God, help me to understand your word so I know the truth. Please God, help me to know your voice. Please, God, continue to provide all my needs. Please, God, help me to make you the Lord of my life. Please, God, give me wisdom and guidance to know your ways. Please, God, help me to remember to say please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is. As we come to a close, it's my prayer that maybe you'll know something of the truth of that power for you this week as you leave. If you look at Luke, Jesus goes into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the passage, it says he leaves in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that being in God's presence this morning, as we always are, but being present with God this morning, being aware of him, his love, his power, his grace sufficient for us, his identity that becomes our identity, I pray that as you go out this week, you will go out in the power of that wonderful name. So we've come to the end. I'm going to just close in prayer, but I do congratulate anyone who still has a chocolate in their hands. And you can just go and enjoy that with your coffee. And I just want to leave the service with our prayer. Lord, would you help us to know who you are, that we would understand a bit more about what we are. Thank you for your word, your living word. Thank you for that word that you are standing with us, inviting us to trust that your grace is sufficient for us. And thank you for your powerful name and the power of your Holy Spirit is in us. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise your name. Amen.